Bible. We're glad that you've tuned in today, and I hope that the study will be a blessing to you. We've been talking about the revelation of the Apostle Paul, and we're going to continue those thoughts on our broadcast today. And if you would like, I'd invite you to take your Bible and follow along in the Scriptures. I think it'd be more meaningful to you if you read the Scriptures that we go over. But if you can't do that, maybe you could take a pencil and paper and jot the Scriptures down and go back and study them at your convenience. It's very important that we consider what the Bible has to say about the things that we're teaching. That's what our source is, the Bible. And of course, our program is called Understanding Your Bible, because our goal in all of this is to simply give you some information that will help you understand the Bible. Paul told Timothy in 2 Timothy 2:15, "Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth." And I believe that that is one of the key principles of understanding your Bible. I know back when I first started preaching, I was a young man and I was part of a denominational system, and they didn't put a lot of emphasis on studying the Bible. They put more emphasis on books and things about the Bible. And I had a lot of confusion because I would read scriptures that seemed to contradict themselves. And I remember when I finally read through the New Testament and I began to see that there was a difference in the revelation given to the Apostle Paul and the rest of the New Testament, and for that fact, the rest of the Bible. And so we need to understand that Paul wrote 13 books. He was saved in Acts chapter 9. And after Acts chapter 15, all the book of Acts is dedicated to the ministry of Paul and those that accompanied him. Then the next 13 books in your Bible are Romans through Philemon. And it's in those books that we find the doctrine for the church, the body of Christ. And so I hope that you'll follow along as we study today about Paul's revelation. And you consider that the way to understand your Bible is to rightly divide the word of truth. That is to distinguish between the truth for the church, the body of Christ, and the truth that was associated with the nation Israel. We're living today in the dispensation of the grace of God. One of the things that we've talked about as far as Paul's revelation, we found in Romans chapter 7. Paul said in Romans chapter 7, verse 6, "But now we are delivered from the law." And we talked about what that meant. I mentioned to you that we were not saying that we should not keep the Ten Commandments except for one, and that has to do with the Sabbath, because Paul emphasized and mentioned every one of them except for keeping the Sabbath, either directly or indirectly. So we're not saying that people shouldn't keep the Ten Commandments. What we are saying is that we're not under the system of the law or the law program that God gave to the nation Israel. We saw in a previous study that the law was given to Israel, not to Gentiles. And there was a law dispensation or a law program. It's a performance system where God said, if you'll do this, then I'll do this. But we've been delivered from that law, and today we are saved by grace. Now, as I mentioned, the Apostle Paul, either directly or indirectly, emphasizes all of the Ten Commandments except one. And that has to do with the law of the Sabbath. And that's what I want to talk to you about today, is Sabbath worship. Sabbath, the word means seventh. And on the seventh day, the Bible says that God rested. After all, he had done all of his work, God rested. And when he called out the nation Israel and gave them the law, he established with them the law of the Sabbath. Now, the seventh day had already been blessed prior to the giving of the law. But when God gave the nation Israel the law, he gave them the law of the Sabbath to be practiced in a very specific way. And not only did he do that in a very specific way, but he gave it as for a specific purpose, and we're going to see that today. Now, there are some churches that put a lot of emphasis on Sabbath worship. That is, worshiping on Saturday. But I want you to see that through the revelation of the Apostle Paul, we find that it matters not what day of the week that we come together. There is no one day that is more holy than the other. Now, at Grace Bible Church, we meet on Sunday. We meet at 10 o'clock, 11 o'clock, 6 o'clock Sunday night. And we do that because that's the day when most people choose to go to church and worship. But you know, there would be nothing wrong with meeting on Monday night, Tuesday night, Wednesday, any other time. As a matter of fact, in Colossians chapter 2, Paul makes it very clear that there needs to be no distinction between the days. In other words, you know, people talk about the Lord's day and so forth. Well, there is no day that is more holy to the Lord than any other day. In Colossians chapter 2, verse 16, Paul says, "And let no man therefore judge you in meat or in drink or in respect of a holy day or the new moon or of the Sabbath days." In other words, Paul's saying, don't let anybody to judge you or to consider your spirituality based on what days that you worship upon or what days you celebrate. He said, "Let no man judge you in meat or in drink or in respect of an holy day, or of the new moon, or of the Sabbath days." Now, I want us to look today at the Sabbath, and I want you to see through the Scriptures that the Sabbath was a very important day to the nation Israel, and the reason it was important. We need to go back to the book of Exodus, and in Exodus chapter 20, in verse 11, the Bible says, "For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea, and all that in them is, and rested the seventh day. Wherefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it." Now that's the explanation for the Sabbath day being blessed. It says in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth. He made everything that He was going to create. But the Bible says that on the seventh day He rested, and He blessed that seventh day or the Sabbath day, and He hallowed it. Now in Exodus chapter 31... In Exodus chapter 31, we find some very specific things in relation to the Sabbath. In Exodus 31, verse 12, the Bible says, "The Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Speak thou also unto the children of Israel, saying, Verily my Sabbaths you shall keep, for it is a sign between me and you throughout your generations." Now, the first thing we need to consider is that the Sabbath was a sign between God and the nation Israel. There has never been anybody in this Bible that was told to observe the Sabbath outside the nation Israel. And the church, regardless of what people say today, is not spiritual Israel. We did not take Israel's place. God is not through with the nation Israel. God has a program for them yet in the future. But the fact is that the Sabbath was a day that was very specifically given to the nation Israel. God hallowed it in the very beginning. He rested on that day. And what we're going to see in the Scriptures is it is a day of rest, and it's symbolic of a day of rest for the nation Israel. Back in Exodus chapter 31, verse 13, it says, "Speak thou also unto the children of Israel." Notice who it's to, saying, "Verily, my Sabbath ye shall keep." Who? Israel shall keep. "For it is a sign between me and you throughout your generations, that you may know that I am the Lord that doth sanctify you." Notice the specific purpose it has. Now in verse 14, "And ye shall keep the Sabbath. Therefore, for it is holy unto you, every one that defileth it shall surely be put to death." Now, you know, I mentioned in a previous study about people today that claim to be operating under the law of Moses or the law system. Even the Jewish people today who claim to be operating under the Old Testament law, they don't even come close to observing the law of Moses. For example, the thing that we just read right here. I mentioned that under the law, a rebellious child was to be taken outside the city and stoned to death. Thank God people aren't practicing that today, and thank God we're not under that law program. But even people today who claim to be under that law program are not observing the law as it's written down in the Word of God. It's interesting that he says that everyone that defileth it shall surely be put to death. Well, did you know that there are religious systems today that practice Saturday worship? As a matter of fact, there are some that say meeting on Sunday is a mark of the beast. Well, I want you to understand that Sabbath worship, worshiping on Saturday, is a carryover from the law that was given to Israel. And the people that observe the Sabbath, they do not observe it as it's laid out in the Bible. In other words, why just take part of the truth and practice that when you're not going to practice all of it? Well, I remember when I was a boy, there was a lot of emphasis put on Sunday being the Lord's day and how that you had to rest and you couldn't work on that day. But you know, I noticed it never deterred my mother from going home on Sunday and standing up and frying chicken and cooking dinner for all of us, and afterwards getting up and washing dishes. And I always wondered in my mind, isn't that work? Well, it sure was to her. And as I got older, I realized it was work because I had to participate in that. But you see, the fallacy of that, people say, oh, we're going to remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. We're going to worship on the Lord's day, and we're not going to do any work on that day. Well, I agree that it's good to take a day off. It's good to have a day of rest. But one day is no more holy in the eyes of God today than any other day. Paul makes that clear in Colossians chapter 2, where we read a moment ago. Now, he says concerning the nation Israel in verse 14, ye shall keep the Sabbath therefore, for it is holy unto you. Everyone that defileth it shall surely be put to death. For whosoever doeth any work therein, that soul shall be cut off from among his people. You see, people today that practice Sabbath worship, they don't practice it in the manner that God laid out in His Word. They don't put people to death that defile the Sabbath day, and they do work on the Sabbath, even though they may say that they don't. They still cook, they still provide for their family, and they do things that are outside the scope of what God outlined in His Word as far as Sabbath worship is concerned. Now, look there in verse 15. He said, 6 days may work be done, but in the seventh is the Sabbath of rest, holy to the Lord. Whosoever doeth any work in the Sabbath day, he shall surely be put to death. Wherefore the children of Israel shall keep the Sabbath to observe the Sabbath throughout their generations for a perpetual covenant. Now notice why. It is a sign between me and the children of Israel forever. That's why the Sabbath day was so important, because it was a sign of a covenant relationship with the nation Israel. He says it's a sign between me and the children of Israel forever, for in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth. On the seventh day He rested and was refreshed. Now that seventh day is symbolic to the nation Israel as a day of rest. Over in Hebrews chapter 4, and by the way, the book of Hebrews, I do not believe, was written by the Apostle Paul. I believe Paul wrote 13 epistles, that is, Romans through Philemon. And you know, when you get over to the last book that Paul wrote, it's interesting that the very next one is called Hebrews. Well, who do you suppose Hebrews would be about? I would think probably Hebrews. Hebrews are Jewish people. And in Hebrews chapter 4, verse 1 says, let us therefore fear lest a promise being left us of entering into His rest, any of you should seem to come short of it. Notice the emphasis now upon rest. Remember what he said back there? It is a sign between me and you. Why? Because on the seventh day I rested. Well, Hebrews chapter 4 verse 1 says there's going to be a day of rest. Verse 2, for unto us was the gospel preached as well as unto them. But the word preached did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in them that heard it. For we which have believed do enter into rest, as he said, as I have sworn in my wrath, if they shall enter into my rest, although the works were finished from the foundation of the world. And we're not going to take time to read the entire passage, but if you read on down through the passage, you're going to find that the whole thing is about rest. Look in verse 4. For he spake in a certain place of the seventh day on this wise, and God did rest the seventh day from all his work. Now notice verse 11. Let us labor therefore to enter into that rest. In other words, that day of rest had not come at the time that Hebrews were written. He said, let us labor therefore to enter into that rest. Well, let me tell you something. Today in the dispensation of the grace of God, we do not labor to enter into the rest. We're saved by grace through faith. We're saved by trusting in what the Lord Jesus Christ did. He said, let us labor to enter into that rest, lest any fall after the same example of unbelief. So the Sabbath day was given as a sign between God and the nation Israel. That's why the Apostle Paul, when he writes to the church, the body of Christ, in Romans through Philemon, never one time instructs them to keep the Sabbath. He talks about coming together and worshiping and so forth, but he never tells people to keep the Sabbath. As a matter of fact, I want you to look in Acts chapter 3. We'll go back to Exodus 31 in a moment, but I want you to notice in Acts chapter 3 a very specific statement that Peter makes concerning the return of the Lord. In Acts 3, verse 19, Peter is preaching. In Acts 2, he had preached to the nation Israel. He said, "You men of Israel, hear these words." And he preached to them a murder indictment. When they were convicted, they were pricked in their heart, the Bible says. They said, "What shall we do?" He said, "Repent and be baptized for the remission of sins." In Acts chapter 3, he again is preaching to the men of Israel. He says in verse 12, "Ye men of Israel, why marvel ye at this?" And then he begins to preach a message there. And in verse 19, he says, "Repent ye therefore, and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out, when the times of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord." Now notice that their salvation, when I say they, I'm talking about the nation Israel, is yet future. We have a chart here on the board, and it outlines the New Testament Scriptures just as they're written. It has the Gospels over here, and during that period of time, Christ preached the Gospel of the Kingdom. He instructed the 12 to do so in the first part of Acts, but in Acts 9, the Apostle Paul is saved. Paul writes Romans through Philemon, and he gives the truth for the church, the body of Christ. But when you get over to Hebrews through Revelation, most of the doctrine over there will match the kingdom doctrine that you find in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Also in Hebrews through Revelation, what you'll find is the 70th week of Daniel, that is the tribulation period, and the return of Christ, the millennial reign of Christ, and what Israel was looking for was for the return of Christ. And they were looking for Him to return and establish a kingdom that they thought He was going to establish at His first coming. But he's crucified, and so when He appears to the 12, there in Acts chapter 1, or the 11 at that time, they say, "Lord, wilt Thou at this time restore again the kingdom of Israel?" He does not tell them, He does not say, "I'm going to" or "I'm not going to." He rather tells them that they've got a ministry, and He tells them to start in Jerusalem, and then Judea, and then go to the uttermost parts of the earth. What are they to preach? They're to preach the gospel of the kingdom that they'd been taught in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. And that's exactly what they do. Why? They're looking for Christ to return and establish a kingdom and rule and reign upon this earth for 1,000 years, as the Bible says He'll do in the book of Revelation. That 1,000 years is called the day of rest. Peter said, "One day is with the Lord as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is one day." That millennial reign is called a day of rest in the Bible, and that's what is being referred to in Hebrews chapter 4. But in Acts chapter 3, when Peter is preaching to these people, he says, "Repent and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out, when the times of refreshing shall come," what? "From the presence of the Lord." In other words, when the Lord returns, He is going to refresh them, and He's going to establish a kingdom with them, and He's going to blot out their sins. They'll be made one with God. That is their atonement. Paul said concerning the church, the body of Christ, in Romans chapter 5, that we have now received the atonement that is already. Now, back in Exodus chapter 31... there's an interesting statement there, because the Bible says in verse 17 concerning the Sabbath again, "It is a sign between me and the children of Israel forever. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, and on the seventh day He rested and was refreshed." Notice that this day of rest is a day of refreshing. The Lord rested and He was refreshed. He rested from His work. Peter said, "Repent and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out, when the times of refreshing shall come," what? "From the presence of the Lord." That's why the Sabbath was so important to the nation Israel. It typified the day of rest in which the Lord Jesus Christ will sit upon the throne of David and rule upon this earth for 1,000 years. As a matter of fact, Peter says there in Acts chapter 3, that the reason that Jesus Christ was raised from the dead was to sit upon the throne of David. Christ is going to come again. He's coming to this earth, and He's going to fulfill His promise to the nation Israel. In Matthew chapter 23, or Matthew 19, I believe it is, Jesus Christ was asked by the disciples. Well, they said, "We have forsaken all and followed thee. What shall we have therefore?" And he said, "When the Son of Man shall sit upon the throne of his glory, you shall sit upon 12 thrones judging the 12 tribes of Israel." You see, God did not do away with the nation Israel when he began the church, the body of Christ, and the dispensation of grace. He simply postponed the program for Israel, and today we're living in a parenthetical period called the dispensation of the grace of God, and the doctrine for that period of time was given to Paul, and it's written down in Romans through Philemon. So the Sabbath was very important to the nation Israel. It was a sign between God and Israel, and there were certain consequences for not keeping that. In Jeremiah chapter 17, Jeremiah 17, verse 19, the Bible says, "Thus the Lord said unto me, Go and stand in the gate of the children of the people whereby the kings of Judah come in, and by the which they go out, and in all the gates of Jerusalem, and say unto them, Hear ye the word of the Lord, ye kings of Judah, and all Judah, and all the inhabitants of Jerusalem that enter in the gates. Thus saith the Lord, Take heed to yourselves, and bear no burden on the Sabbath day, nor bring it in by the gate of Jerusalem. Neither carry forth a burden out of your houses on the Sabbath day, neither do you any work, but hallow ye the Sabbath day, as I commanded your fathers." Notice he said, "But they obeyed not, neither inclined their ear, but made their neck stiff, and they that they might not hear nor receive instruction. And it shall come to pass, if ye diligently hearken to me, saith the Lord, to bring in no burden through the gates of this city on the Sabbath day, but hallow the Sabbath day to do no work therein, then shall there enter into the gates of the city kings and princes," and so forth. But notice verse 27. "But if you will not hearken unto me to hallow the Sabbath day, and to bear a burden, even entering into the gates of Jerusalem on the Sabbath day, then will I kindle a fire in the gates thereof, and it shall devour the palaces of Jerusalem. It shall not be quenched." God had specific rules and instructions concerning the Sabbath day, but it was only with the nation Israel. When God started the church, the body of Christ, with the Apostle Paul in Acts chapter 9, the Sabbath day had no significance for the church, the body of Christ, and we know that through the revelation given to the Apostle Paul. You know, it's interesting that in the early part of Paul's ministry, Paul always went first when he went into a city to the synagogue. Well, we know the synagogue met on the Sabbath. Numerous references concerning that. But I want you to notice in Acts chapter 20, in verse 7, the Bible says, "And upon the first day of the week, when the disciples came together to break bread, Paul preached unto them." Now, the first day of the week would be Sunday. But you know, it wasn't limited to that. It says he was ready to depart on the morrow and continued his speech until midnight. And as you read through the book of Acts, you'll find that Paul taught every day of the week. He did not just wait for the Sabbath and go into the synagogue and preach. He preached on the first day of the week. He preached throughout the week. Paul was not a Sabbath observer once he was given the truth concerning the dispensation of the grace of God. And as we started out on the broadcast today in Colossians chapter 2, I want us to go back there and notice again the warning that Paul gives concerning the observing of days. In Colossians chapter 2, verse 16, "Let no man therefore judge you in meat or in drink or in respect of an holy day or of the new moon or the Sabbath days, which are a shadow of things to come, but the body is of Christ." What is the shadow of things to come? The things to come in the millennial reign of Christ, the 1,000-year reign. He said those are a shadow of things to come. Verse 18, "Let no man beguile you of your reward in a voluntary humility and worshiping of angels, intruding into those things which he has not seen, vainly puffed up by his fleshly mind." And then down in Colossians 2:20, he says, "Wherefore, if ye be dead with Christ from the rudiments of the world, why, as though living in the world, are you subject to ordinances?" You see, folks, as we've talked on previous broadcasts, we are not under the law. We're under grace. And Paul warns against being allowing somebody to bring you under the law and put you in bondage. The law of the Sabbath or any other law. I mentioned before that even though people today may not be observing the law of Moses, many people are trapped in a religious system, and there is a set of laws and standards that have been developed through the traditions of men that are not scriptural. And people have been brought under bondage to those things. Well, back up in Colossians chapter 2, the same chapter where we've been reading, Paul makes it clear what happened to the law. He says in Colossians chapter 2, ye are complete in Him, which is the head of all principality and power. In other words, there is nothing that you can do to add to your salvation. Water baptism, church membership, there is nothing, circumcision, there is nothing you can do to add to your salvation. You're complete in Christ. Everything that was needed to be done for your salvation was done in Christ Jesus. Worshiping on the Sabbath day is not going to make you any better than somebody that worships on the first day. We're not under that law today. He says in verse 11, in whom also you are circumcised with a circumcision made without hands, in putting off the body of the sins of the flesh by the circumcision of Christ, buried with Him in baptism, wherein also you are risen with Him through the faith of the operation of God, who hath raised Him from the dead. And you being dead in your sins, and the uncircumcision of your flesh, hath He quickened together with Him, having forgiven you all trespasses, blotting out the handwriting of ordinances that was against us, which was contrary to us, and took it out of the way, nailing it to His cross. When Christ died on that cross, He took the law out of the way. And He gave that information to the Apostle Paul to reveal to us that we're not under the law, and that includes the law of the Sabbath. We're under grace, and by grace we're saved through trusting in what Jesus Christ did at Calvary. Thank God today we've been delivered from the law.
Grace Bible Church extends to you and your family a cordial invitation to join us for our Sunday services. Bible classes begin at 10 a.m. with morning service at 11 and informal evening Bible study at 6 p.m. For more information, phone 847-0768. Thank you for joining us for this edition of Understanding Your Bible. For more information, write to the address on your screen or call 423-847-0768. Be sure to be with us again next week for another edition of Understanding Your Bible.